Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 521, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates. This is being recorded on August 7th of the year 2005. Time permitting, at the end of this broadcast, I'm going to discuss websites, in particular the Spitfire website and linked websites that contain an enormous and ever-growing body of both audio and printed information. Listeners who only listen are missing out on the greater part of the For the Record / Dave Emery experience. And thanks to a growing number of enterprising listeners, there is an enormous contribution being made by various listeners in the Midwest, the East, all over the place. So please take advantage of the Spitfire website and linked websites, because you're missing out on an awful lot. Frankly, I think at this point it's the best individual information source available on the subject material. That having been said, what were the program, obviously, as the title indicates, is going to be updating some stories I've covered in the past, as well as presenting certain miscellaneous articles. There was an op-ed column that appeared in the Los Angeles Times of July 20th of 2005 by a guy named Max Boot. He is a national security expert with the Council on Foreign Relations, a senior fellow specifically at the Council on Foreign Relations. The column itself, I think, is perhaps notable mostly for the fact that it's a blast from the past, so to speak. It's talking about how China is subverting the U.S., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Chinese couldn't do a better job of subverting this country than its own power structure is doing, in my opinion, or elements thereof. Most of this column is, well, not really noteworthy for our purposes. It's saber-rattling against China. It's sort of like a throwback to the 1950s or 1960s. At some point, we may talk about the China syndrome and how the anachronistic viewpoint of elements of the American right. But what is most significant, I think, for our purposes are some of the, in particular, one of the tactics that Max Boot, again, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and a national security expert, one of the things that he foresees China as possibly attempting against the United States. Again, the column, China's Stealth War on the U.S., leaving aside the main theme here, what I found most significant was the various types of potential subversive tactics that Max Boot feels the Chinese might employ. Their different approaches include, skipping down, even ecological warfare, creating man-made earthquakes or other natural disasters. Now, in numerous programs, including and notably For the Record program number 69, I noted not only that seismic warfare was a reality, that the U.S. and former Soviet Union had a treaty about environmental modification for such purposes. We've talked about this in conjunction with Nick Begich and Project HARP. I've taken a lot of BS about this, too, over the years. People have made fun of me, ridiculed me, not perhaps surprisingly, in that this doesn't get a lot of discussion. But I want to note that here we have a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations writing in the Los Angeles Times and positing the possibility that China might employ ecological warfare, creating man-made earthquakes against the United States. Obviously, such technology exists. And indeed, the former Soviet Union and the United States had a treaty on the books by 1977. That was almost 30 years ago. And in terms of military technological development, it was about 30 years, roughly, since the end of World War I and the time the former Soviet Union exploded its first atomic bomb. So there can be an awful lot of military development over the course of 30 years. And again, Nikola Tesla created an earthquake unintentionally in the late 19th century. So do note that. And again, For the Record 69 is the most detailed and substantive discussion of seismic warfare. In For the Record 512, we took a look at Alvin of Arabia, Alvin Malnick, the described as the heir to the Lansky Syndicate, obviously of American Jewish extraction, converted to Islam. His son married a princess from the Saudi royal family, and basically the senior Malnick also changed his name, and we called him Alvin of Arabia. Politics often makes strange bedfellows, and there's no example of a stranger pair of political bedfellows than the following. This is from the Wall Street Journal of Tuesday, July 12th of 2005. In the World Watch column, we have the following. This is from Benoit Faucon of the Dow Jones Newswires, and it's datelined on Tibes, France, and it concerns a European or a French police investigation, a French financial police investigation of some of the millions, actually billions of dollars that the late Yasser Arafat, chairman of the PLO, had secreted abroad. And in particular, they are looking into over $8 million of transfers that allegedly were affected to SUA. Yasser Arafat's wife at the time, now his widow. And these were basically diverted to one of Yasser Arafat's business partners, a fellow named Pierre Risque, who was a member of a Christian Lebanese militia force that massacred Palestinian refugees in Beirut camps in 1932. That is the famous or notorious Sabra and Shatila massacres. Well, the person whose name is most often identified with that, not incorrectly, is Ariel Sharon. But you don't hear a whole lot about the fact that one of Yasser Arafat's business partners was also involved with this massacre. He, at least according to this article, appears to have become involved. Arafat, that is, became involved with this fellow after the massacres. Nonetheless, this is a fascinating tale indeed. Don't think you're going to hear about this on the Pacifica Radio Network somehow. Anyway, from the Wall Street Journal, 7/12/2005, probe of Arafat finances focuses on transfers, reads in part as follows. Paris investigators looking into the finances of the late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat are investigating about 7 million euros or $8.4 million of transfers they suspect benefited a former Lebanese militiaman. They are seeking to establish whether the transfers were embezzled from Palestinian public funds, either from the Palestine Liberation Organization or the Palestinian Authority, according to a Paris judicial official. The investigators are conducting a wider probe into $11 million, or about 9 million euros, of unexplained transfers to Mr. Arafat's widow, Sua, some of which were routed through French bank BNP Paribas SA in Paris. They suspect that 7 million euros of this was funneled through bank accounts belonging to Sua Arafat and believe some of that money was used for work on French Riviera villas owned by Pierre Risque, a Lebanese man with long-standing connections to Yasser Arafat. Mr. Risque, R-I-Z-K, was a former intelligence chief of the Lebanese forces, a Christian militia responsible for the massacre of Palestinian refugees in Beirut camps in 1982. Strange bedfellows indeed. And indeed, another embodiment of the old phrase, politics makes strange bedfellows. Someone who has all sorts of information on various bedfellows to be used for political blackmail purposes is a man known in Italian politics as Il Venerabile. That's Licio Gelli, a veteran of Mussolini's fascist government and one of the prime movers of post-World War II Italian politics, and a man who envisioned a democratic return of fascism via electoral politics in post-World War II Italy. Something very much like that has happened with the Italian fascist party, the Alleanza Nazionale, now part of the governing coalition of Silvio Berlusconi, although Berlusconi's government is on the way out. In For the Record program number 508, we noted that Roberto Calvi, the former manager of the Banco Ambrosiano, who was murdered in 1982, has had his murder investigation reopened, and four men have been indicted. Actually, three men and one woman have been indicted for the murder of Roberto Calvi. Calvi was the focal point of RFA 18 and numerous For the Record shows, and Calvi, like current Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, a former member of Licio Gelli's Propaganda Due Lodge. The P2 Lodge is covered in numerous programs, RFA programs, For the Record programs. It was headed by Licio Gelli, and Licio Gelli has now been indicted in conjunction with the death of Roberto Calvi. This is from the London Independent, from its online edition. I'm only going to read the introduction because you have to pay to get the rest of the article, and frankly, I'm poor and can't afford it, but big things come in small packages. This also is from July 20th of 2005. It's by John Phillips in Rome, headlined, "Mason Indicted Over Murder of God's Banker," unquote. Magistrates investigating the death of the Italian banker Roberto Calvi under Blackfriars Bridge in London in 1982 are focusing on Licio Geli, the former Grand Master of the illegal P2 Masonic Lodge that plotted against Italian democracy in the 1970s. Mr. Geli denies he was involved, but has acknowledged that the financier known as God's Banker, unquote, because of his links with the Vatican, was murdered. He said the killing was commissioned in Poland. That's all of the article that's accessible to me. Again, it's a 539-word article, but you have to pay for the rest of it, and frankly, I just can't afford it at this point with all of the other expenses. An educated guess would be that the way Jaylee is going to try to spin this is that the Poles had Roberto Calvi murdered because of the money that was diverted from P2 and the Banco Ambrosiano to assist the Solidarity movement in Poland. This would be part of the same disinformation effort that would maintain that the former Soviet Union, the KGB, using Bulgarian surrogates, shot Pope John Paul II. In fact, there is a massive RFA series available from Spitfire about the shooting of the Pope that would indicate just the opposite, that actually was right-wing forces associated with, among other elements, the P2 Lodge, as well as the Turkish Fascist Grey Wolves, the youth wing of the National Action Party, the Turkish Fascist Party. So, again, note that Licio Geli is being investigated and apparently has been indicted in conjunction with the murder of Roberto Calvi. If Licio Geli begins to talk, man, a lot of people are going to be listening, and the foundations of Italian politics will be shaken, because Geli has more connections than a switchboard. When Geli was on the run, as we looked at in For the Record 322, he allegedly received great assistance from the elder George Bush, and those are just some of the many, many, many powerful people who were associated with Geli. An American member of Geli's P2 Lodge was actually part of the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization as well, the fascist wing of the Republican Party, and Licio Geli was an honored guest at Ronald Reagan's inauguration. By the way, the member of the Ethnic Outreach group that was an American member of the P2 inside the Republican Party was the late Philip Guarino, and Geli, again, an honored guest at Ronald Reagan's inauguration, a man with more connections than a switchboard. If the P2 milieu is investigated, it's not only going to reveal the fascist elements that have been wrapped around the Vatican for decades, it's going to reveal things about the shooting of the Pope, in all probability, the murder of JP1. And if you start investigating the various P2 tendrils, you find evidentiary tributaries leading to the bank Altaqua. Indeed, Per Felice Barchi, the lawyer for Youssef Nader, the former German intelligence agent who heads Bank Altaqua, is the lawyer who handled the Swiss investments for Licio Geli himself, for Silvio Berlusconi, Prime Minister of Italy and a former member of the P2 Lodge. And indeed, much of Bank Altaqua's correspondent accounts through the Clearstream network was done through the Banco del Gottardo, which was actually, for a time in the early 80s, the Swiss subsidiary of Banco Ambrosiano. So the P2 Lodge is far more than just a rogue Masonic lodge. It was a crypto-fascist government in Italy, and if indeed Licio Geli really starts to talk, an awful lot of people are going to be trembling, could open up investigations into the years of lead, the strategy of tension, activities in Latin America, the shooting of JP2, the murder of JP1, right on up through things leading to the Bank Altaqua. So fascinating. Geli is talking, although perhaps not the truth, and he has been indicted in connection with the murder of Roberto Calvi. Now, the next article, or the series of articles, the next focal point, which is going to occupy the rest of the broadcast, is one of the stranger stories I've ever seen. It also is directly connected to the world of Italian neo-fascism. And one of the strangest people I have encountered during the 25-plus years I've been on the air, and that is an Italian reactionary, some might say, I think I'd be inclined to say Italian fascist, called Massimo Introvigne, I-N-T-R-O-V-I-G-N-E. I'd like to know, what, if somebody out there can help me out with the Italian, I'd like to know what, if anything, Introvigne means. Massimo Introvigne is not only a Vatican scholar, as we'll see, he also is the head of an organization called CESNUR, C-E-S-N-U-R, all in capitals. This is a cult investigating organization that appears to have metamorphosed into something of a cult apologist organization, and in particular appears to be functioning to a certain extent as an apologist for various reactionary/fascist cults. Introvigne himself is a member of an ultra-reactionary Catholic organization called the Alleanza Cattolica, which itself is associated with various right-wing and international fascist organizations. Perhaps the strangest thing of all, now bear in mind that Introvigne is a Vatican scholar, is that Massimo Introvigne is a vampire buff. There's a picture of him wearing one of those weird sort of Count Dracula type capes, you know, with a big high collar. And as we're going to see, Massimo Introvigne is really into vampires and is part of something called the Transylvania Society of Dracula, or for Dracula, and in 1997 helped to convene a vampire function in Santa Barbara in Southern California, so it was in L.A., upon the 100th anniversary of the publication of Bram Stoker's Dracula. So Massimo Introvigne, cult apologist slash expert of Italian reactionary slash fascist, Vatican scholar, and vampire buff slash admirer. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Interesting indeed. The following is from an Italian, or excuse me, a Dutch website. It's titled "Disreputable Forces at Work Among the Sect Researchers at CESNUR." This is from De Groner Amsterdammer in Holland, August 13th, 1997. It's by Michel Lutte, L-O-U-T-E-R, translated by Dr. Hermann de Tollenere, T-O-L-L-E-N-A-E-R-E. And I may very well be mispronouncing some of these names. In fact, probably M. Of Massimo Introvigne, we read, "Several weeks ago, theologians wanted to have a simple, normal debate about a few sect questions. An overly partial, extreme right participant? Oh well, that can happen. There appear to be more disreputable forces at work among the sect researchers at CESNUR." Again, the head of CESNUR is Massimo Introvigne. "How have sects won over so many souls in the past few years? A dozen sect experts wanted to calmly answer that question a few weeks ago at Amsterdam Free University, or VU. However, there was trouble right from the very start from the direction of the Congress organized by CESNUR, the Italian ecclesiastical institution. A member of that Congress, a sociologist by the name of Hermann de Tollenere, discovered that Maria Dolores Fernandez Figueres was supposed to make a presentation on New Acropolis, a neo-fascist sect, was herself a member of that sect. Outraged by this, de Tollenere went to the TROUW newspaper, which has suggested on its title page last Tuesday that the CESNUR institution was nothing more than a dubious club of pseudo-theologians and which occupied itself primarily with whitewashing right extremist sects such as the Moonies and New Acropolis, that is, if it were not being paid by the sects themselves. This serious accusation was quickly withdrawn. Reinder Kronenborg, Congress chairman and member of the board of directors, which is allied with CESNUR, took the floor and asserted that he had never before heard of New Acropolis. That was peculiar. Last year, CESNUR released a collection of articles entitled Pour en finir avec les sectes, in which the authors accounted more for the ideas of the sects than with the sects themselves. This collection included a comprehensive article about New Acropolis. In it, the sect was described as, quote, a philosophy which increases individual freedom of choice, unquote. Indeed, this sect would appear to be a fascist subgroup, rather like the Moonies and some other sects. By the way, it's S-E-C-T-S. The director of CESNUR, an Italian named Massimo Introvigne, sought out public attention himself after that. In interviews with Volksrant and TROUW, he said that nothing was known to him of the membership of Mrs. Fernandez Figueres in New Acropolis. She was in the Congress more or less by coincidence, an oversight which he had already ironed out in that he had removed her from the list of participants. At the time, Introvigne made a point of mentioning that the fear of sects had been grossly exaggerated by completely unacademic, vengeful anti-sect groups. He would have preferred to simply let Fernandez Figueres participate in the debate, said Introvigne several days later to the Allgemeine Dagblad. Quote, "They have to know that this woman has an academic degree," unquote. "And why should theologians be excluded because of their convictions?" Quote, "I myself am a conservative Christian Democrat. Does that need to affect me in my role as a theologian?" Unquote. So far as the Dutch press was concerned, that settled the matter. However, further research showed that the situation was not as clear as Introvigne claimed. In the view of French, Belgian, Italian, and German sources, New Acropolis appears to be a particularly frightening sect with approximately 8,000 members, mainly in South America and Southern Europe. It was founded in 1957 by an Argentinian-born Italian, Jorge Aguel Livraga. He was an art history student who conferred a false academic degree upon himself and, based upon Madame Blavatsky's theosophical teachings on the origin of race, selected himself as God's ordained, quote, leader, unquote, on earth. An ideal state, according to Livraga, who died in 1991, weeds out everything which is, quote, weak and stupid, unquote, beginning with the gathering of homosexuals into concentration camps. Adherents are attracted with popular courses about Plato, theosophy, meditation techniques, et al. In conjunction with these, the students are taught fascistoid ideas in paramilitary units, where they are also trained in marching, weapons use, and the Nazi form of address. The goal is the violent overthrow of democracy. "Senselessly stamping on an ant is a greater injustice than the death of a man in the name of an ideal," unquote, wrote Livraga in one of his letters to his friend, Delia Gutzmann. After his death, she, Gutzmann, took over the leadership of the sect, which had, since the writing of that letter, spread worldwide. The headquarters of New Acropolis is currently in Brussels. From there, contacts are established with fascistoid groups such as the French Front National and the Belgian Westland Post. The controversial participant, Fernandez Figueres, certainly appears to be known in the ranks of New Acropolis. She's the daughter of Maria Angeli Ligardi, who is the national commandant of the Belgian branch of New Acropolis, which also has its seat in Brussels. Her father, Fernandez Figueres Müller, was the past national commandant, unquote, and was unsuccessfully responsible for the establishment of a Dutch branch. Their dear daughter's name is in text published by New Acropolis on two of their internet sites. It's difficult to believe, then, that Introvigne, the Cesnur director, knew nothing of her sect membership. All the more so since Introvigne is to make a presentation this coming fall to a Society of American Theosophists entitled, quote, "Post-Theosophical Groups, Ex-Members of New Acropolis in France," unquote. And skipping down still more in this particular article, Introvigne, by the way, is a member of the CCD, a right extremist flavor of the Italian Christian Democrats, who in the past year ended an alliance with the neo-fascist Liga Nord and who barely lost the election to the Forza Italia with Berlusconi, their strong leader. What do you really think about fascism? Ha, this, by the way, is Introvigne speaking here. Ha, ha, ha. In my own country, I prefer to describe myself as middle right. Look, our alliance could have won the election if they'd taken on the proper fascists of the MSI, but we didn't do that. And don't forget the rest of it, that the totalitarian spirits and communists with their glorification of Stalin and his gulags, unquote. Introvigne is also a member of the militant Catholic splinter movement Alianza Cattolica, which he joined 18 years ago. The AC is a daughter organization of the International Tradition, Family, and Property, or TFP, an ultra-conservative club of rich, influential Catholics who are adamantly, quote, ready to fight tooth and nail, unquote, against, again quoting, perverted elements of society such as abortion, socialism, unions, drug use, and homosexuality. A report called Prayer, Power, Profit by Marashani, a South African sect researcher, was written under commission of the University of Amsterdam in 1989. It makes connections between TFP and other right-wing Catholic organizations such as Opus Dei and the Order of Malta. It accepts relationships to the Moon Sect, the terroristic Freemason Lodge P2, and the CIA. The report even announced background operations of the TFP in coups d'etat and death squadrons in Chile and Brazil. Intravigne has never made a secret of his membership in this organization. He regularly writes articles for the AC Oregon Cristianita and also gives instruction for 1 week a year to the youth department at Legionari Christi. By the way, the new Acropolis group basically takes military training and uses Nazi forms of address, and the tradition, family, and property has been linked to coups in Latin America and Europe as well. More about Intravigne. And by the way, note the links here to the P2 Lodge. A lot of these cults have very, very interesting links. May Intravigne officially bear the title of Doctor of Religious Studies, unquote? After majoring philosophy at the University of Rome, Intravigne, 42 years old, completed his studies at the University of Law in Turin in the late 1970s. Nothing is known of the 10 years following that in the course of his life, until the lawyer suddenly appeared as director of CESNUR, a, quote, church service research institute, unquote, which was said to be completely independent of political or ecclesiastic organizations, and whose chairman was an Italian bishop. That kind of reminds me of Jacques Vergès, the French lawyer, who's a protege of François Genoux. Still more about Intravigne and his membership in the Transylvania Society of Dracula. This is an article from the LA Daily News of July 23rd of 1997. Coffin break to vampires everywhere, fangs for the memories. It's about a conference, basically a festival celebrating vampires. Current interest in things occult, mystical, or mysterious, as evidenced by the popularity of shows such as The X-Files, can be attributed to people's confusion over religion, intrigue with the fight over good and evil, and uncertainty about the afterlife, said Massimo Intravigne, a teacher of sociology and religion at one of the 13 Vatican universities in Rome. It's during periods like this in history, he said, that the vampires gain some credence. And of this Dracula Fest in L.A., quote, there are 100 scholars coming to present papers on vampires, but it's really a party, said J. Gorton Melton, who was organizing the event with Massimo Intravigne. The majority of people coming are just like us, people who like vampire and horror movies. It's going to be fun, a bunch of silly people dressing up and biting each other on the neck, unquote. Well, organizations like Tradition, Family, and Property, the Associated Alianza Cattolica, are anything but just a bunch of silly people. One wonders if whether perhaps this vampire milieu is something like a lot of the satanic milieu, where a lot of it just basically are party-hardy types, but with some truly sinister fascist elements lurking within that milieu and basically camouflaging themselves with the party-on types. Again, food for thought and grounds for further research. But bear in mind that a lot of these, quote, cults and sects actually are fascist. The Order of the Solar Temple, founded by a former Gestapo officer, was also assisted by Licio Gelli. So Massimo Intravigne, Italian fascist associated with TFP, and a Vatican scholar, and a vampire buff. Go figure. The Spitfire website, www.spitfirelist.com, has a wealth of information. Each For the Record show is turned into an article-length written description. Those descriptions, in turn, are turned into a blog sphere by an enterprising listener. There are links to various things. The book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile is available for download in its entirety. Links to a website in the Midwest, maintained by listeners in the Midwest, featuring the declassified government documents proving the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. There are lectures available, and many links to a number of websites maintained by the heroic sister station WFMU-FM, which is not only archiving the entire For the Record series on real audio and now MP3, but is podcasting the For the Record shows as well. And there's a search function on the Spitfire website and a page to click on for people who wish to support the work that I'm doing. And if you don't like the things you're hearing about on this program, there's no better way of doing something about it than supporting the work that I'm doing. That concludes For the Record program number 521, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates, being recorded on August 7th of 2005. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.